Good morning, everybody. I'll just ask everybody to come. I have the luxury of seeing out there that there's a lot of people still chatting, which is a great thing. But for those submitters who have spent a lot of time on their submission, we will reconvene as soon as possible. The 4 days have evolved really lovely with everybody talking to each other out there and examining different perspectives, and that's a great value of this consultative process. So now we are moving on, we're early. If John is here, it just gives us a bit of wriggle room. Is John Kirkland in the room? Oh, are you happy to come to the table, John? Great, thank you. We need some people at the table though, John, because otherwise it's a bit offensive, so take your time. Take your time, we won't switch it. Here they are coming. For those of those councillors, this is 1725, and it's in the extra submissions that were handed out on Friday. Just a couple more coming, John, if you don't mind waiting. Some people get very nervous in the chair. And so, John, I'm not going to let you start till we've got more. Over the time that we said, so John, do begin.
I'll just start by reading my submission, Your Worship. Do you support the principle, the intention of effectively partnering Te Arawa? My answer to that was I'm totally opposed to any one particular ethnic, religious, political or otherwise, or any whatever grouping they being given special privileges in the form of unelected voting rights and local authority administrative affairs. I'll expand on that later. What aspects of Te Arawa partnership model do you agree with and why? My answer to that was none. I agree with none of them. The proposals, that is, unelected representatives with voting rights and privileges and belonging to one ethnic group, is both undemocratic, unfair and, in my opinion, racially divisive. What aspects of the proposed Te Arawa partnership model do you disagree with and why? I disagree with all aspects, for the reasons given and one above. Okay. Is there another option or arrangement that you prefer and why? I note that there are at present, three Maori members elected democratically on the present 12-member Rotorua District Council. Whether or not they are affiliated to Te Arawa, that represents a 25% ethnic makeup. Those affiliated to Te Arawa should stand for election like any other individual and be elected, if possible, on their own merits or otherwise. Do you have any further comments? Well, I've just said here, why should one minority ethnic group be given special privileges and power over everyone else. If this extremely cumbersome administrative process is implemented, why should the majority be expected to pay for it, thereby increasing Rotorua's horrendous debt situation? Well, now listen, I want to expand on that a little bit. I've attended a couple of council meetings, the one in December and the one in, I think it was March, where the decisions were, that they had big discussions on this. I'm a member of the Pro-Democratic Society. I've attended 3 days of submissions, and I've attended a couple of Pro-Democratic Society meetings, and I've attended the Waikiki meeting where the option two was discussed. Having said I'm a Pro-Democratic Society member, I do not agree with everything they say. I've got to say that for a start. Having read my submission, I must make an acknowledgement to Te Arawa. I acknowledge Te Arawa's generosity to society in its entirety. Starting from the time they supported the colonial troops under General Cameron in the Maori Wars. Their generous gifts to Te Arawa, e.g. land for hospital and schools, is acknowledged without question. And there's probably many, many other examples of their generosity from which I'm not aware. I also acknowledge that they've been badly treated by successive governments over the years, where promises have been made and haven't been kept. But to a large extent, I also acknowledge that recent governments have tried to address these imbalances. Whether they've been successful or not is not for me to judge. But I've got two questions that are roaming around in my addled brain. One of them is the Local Government Act, I think it was the 2002 Local Government Act, an amendment was that councils had to make more contact with Maori in general. Now, from what I understand, Te Arawa only account for 25% of the population in the greater Maori area. That's as I understand, although I'm open to correction there. My question is, what about the other 25% of Maori who are not catered for, who are not affiliated to Te Arawa? They're grassroots Maori. Do Te Arawa going to speak for them, or do they only speak for their own affiliates? The other question I've got is, regards the option two model, is if, for example, that is enacted and it's put into law, what's to stop Te Arawa coming to the council and sometime in the future and saying, hey, this option two model that you granted us on the 26th of May 2015, it's not working now. It doesn't suit us. We want the same deal, that is unelected representation with full voting rights on the full council. I see that as, I don't know whether that's a possibility or not, but I can see that happening. And if that is the case, it would have to be granted to Te Arawa, because you've already created the precedent now. But I could be wrong. That may never happen. So, having been critical of the system so far, you've got to come up with some sort of alternative, and my suggestion, simple as it is that the status quo remains. Keep the status quo. It's simple, it's easy to understand, and it's transparent. And that is first past the post system. You've got three very good Maori councillors, and I can't see that that needs to be changed. If anything, it can be increased. If you keep the status quo, why can't we reconstitute the Te Arawa Standing Committee? Give it a bit more teeth, but make it so that it's got an independent, completely independent chairperson. So that's really the basis of my submission, Your Worship. I've don't know whether it makes any sense, but I'm advocating the status quo. If in the future it doesn't work out, then I see the Maori ward system is very good. We've had some excellent speakers give very good submissions on the Maori ward system, and I can see that. I mean, it works very well at local central government level. Environment BOP, I think they've got three Maori wards, and that seems to work okay. I can't see why it can't work on a Rotorua situation. But in the first instance, I've got to repeat myself, I reckon we should stick to the first-past-the-post system. It's easy to understand, it's simple, and it's transparent. At the same time, strengthen the Rotorua Standing Committee, give it an independent chairman, and at the same time, Te Arawa has got to really, if they want to increase the number of Maori seats on Parliament, in council, they've got to try and increase this 11% that only participate in local authority elections. So anyhow, Your Worship, that's my rant. I'm finished. Thank you for listening.
Not a rant at all. It was very clear. Have we got any questions? Councillor Donaldson.
Thank you, John. That was very clear. And you've made several acknowledgements, including that you've been here for several days of the hearings. And you acknowledged Māori being badly treated by previous governments. Would you also acknowledge what has been said by some previous submitters, and I'm not sure if you heard them, that Māori have been badly treated by previous councils in Rotorua?
Oh, I'd have to agree with that. I've sat through three days of submissions, and I must admit, I have heard that suggestion made. And yeah, if you acknowledge that central government have made some bad omissions regarding Te Arawa and Maori in general, you'd have to say the same thing for council.
Thank you, Mr. Coutland, and thanks for staying so long and taking part.
Thank you.
And now we ask submitter number 1873, Len Watson, and for councillors, that is page 271. I did see Len. Oh, yeah.
Good morning, all. Okay. I'll just read through what is basically a four-page summary I have here, and see if I can keep the pace on. While I'm a member of the Rotorua Pro-Democracy Society, this is my verbal submission, although most of the comments that follow reflect the views of the nearly 350 members of the society. Given the detail of my written submission, a 10-minute presentation today hardly scratches the surface of it. My hope is that you've each been able to read my written submission, given the importance of the legal issues commented on. Council must comply with the laws of the land, specifically the Local Government Act, and it is not appropriate, if council does not like these laws, to simply abuse them or ignore them. I fully support the call for an improved consultation with Maori and indeed with the whole of our community. What I do not support is a method being proposed to achieve this, a method that I submit is not in keeping with the law. So what do our laws say? The purpose of the Local Government Act itself, or the purpose of the Local Government Act, is to provide for democratic and effective local government that recognises the diversity of New Zealand communities. To this end, the Act states a purpose of local government, provides a framework and powers for local authorities to decide which activities they undertake and the manner in which they undertake them, and promotes the accountability of local authorities to their communities. The Act is prescriptive for what council can do. If intended actions are not provided for in the law, they cannot be legally undertaken. The purpose of local government itself includes enabling democratic local decision-making and action by and on behalf of communities, while council, in fulfilling its legislated role, is required to give effect to this purpose. Council is also required to conduct its business in a democratically accountable manner. In summary, council is required to perform its duties and to exercise its conferred rights in a democratic manner and to do so on behalf of its community. The intention under the Te Aroha partnership model does not do this. Instead, it seeks to appoint non-elected people as representatives of Te Aroha. This is demonstrably undemocratic because it gives power to unelected individuals and disproportionate power to a single interest group, and is therefore, in my opinion, in breach of the Act. Members of council committees and their subcommittees, if any, are determined in accordance with Clause 31.3 of Schedule 7 of the Act. This includes the ability of a local authority or committee to appoint to a committee or subcommittee a person who is not a member of the local authority or committee if, in the opinion of the local authority, that elected person has the skills, attributes or knowledge that will assist the work of the committee or subcommittee. In my opinion, the fundamental premise of this clause is that the committee, with elected members only, requires assistance with its work and, as a consequence, seeks the necessary skills, attributes or knowledge of a non-elected person to so assist with this work. The need for assistance by the committee is therefore, in my opinion, a conditioned precedent. This clause is not intended to be used to appoint additional and unelected members of a committee, as is proposed under the model, for the principal purpose of representing that interest group. Further, relying on nominations by such interest groups to fill such needs of a committee, if the need exists, could well see council disabling itself from exercising its statutory discretion to appoint committee members, relying instead on the interest group to provide the necessary scrutiny of nominees. One example of an appointment that is quoted by council is that of a local accountant on the Audit and Risk Committee, I think that's what it's called, and it uses that appointment as justification of what the model proposes. However, that appointment has been made because of the clear needs of the committee. The appointee is on the committee solely because of his audit expertise. He is not there as a representative of the local accounting profession. In this regard, I submit that appointments via the model is an abuse of the intentions of the law. The obligations of local authorities to meet Treaty of Waitangi obligations are set out in Section 4 of the Act. This makes it clear that obligations with respect to the treaty rest with the Crown, who is the treaty partner, and the Crown's treaty obligations with respect to local authorities have been recognised by specific provisions included in Parts 2 and 6 of the Act, principally the need to provide for consultation and capacity building for Māori. Specific obligations in the LGA with respect to engagement with Māori include in Part 2 the need to provide opportunities for Māori to contribute to the decision-making processes of local authorities. Note that this section states contribution to decision-making processes, and not, as some have mistakenly concluded, and is often repeated in Council's promotion of the body of the model, to a contribution to decision-making itself. Decision-making is the function of elected mayor and councillors, while the decision-making process relates to the lead-up to those decisions being taken, a process that includes making submissions, public forum and debate. In Part 6, local authorities are required when making decisions with respect to land and bodies of water to take into account relationships that Māori have with such land and bodies of water, including Māori culture and traditions. It does not refer to treaty obligations, but suggests a need for understanding via a consultation process of the concerns that Māori might have in this regard. The requirement for local authorities to provide opportunities for Māori to contribute to its decision-making processes are set out principally in Sections 81 and 82 of the Act. These repeat the requirements of other sections to provide opportunities for Māori to contribute to the decision-making process and to build capacity for Māori to do so. In providing for this, however, Section 81 notes that that in making judgments about the manner in which these requirements are to be complied with, Council must have regard to the legislated role of local authorities referred to earlier, that is, democratic local decision-making. Further, the requirement of the LGA is for Council to engage with Māori and not a specific iwi. My review of the 2013 census shows that among the Māori population of Rotorua, 39% relate to Te Ara and 61% to other iwi. The model does not therefore fulfil the requirements of the LGA with respect to engagement with Māori, that is, all Māori, albeit that the model suggests a token involvement after 2 years of Māori who are related to other iwi. The RMA has requirements for Council to consider issues of importance to Māori and to consult with them in the process of promoting the sustainable management of natural and physical resources, which is the purpose of the RMA. Section 6 requires local authorities, when carrying out their prescribed functions set out in the Act, to recognise and provide for the relationships that Māori have to their ancestral lands, waters, etc. Section 8 of the Act again requires councils, when exercising their functions and in respect of their management and use of the development of natural resources, to take into account the principles of the Treaty of Waitangi. It is to be noted, however, that these requirements of the RMA exist in an RMA context only. They do not create further requirements for local authorities to recognise treaty principles in a more general sense. These obligations, as mentioned earlier, are already provided for in the LGA. So that's my brief overview of what I believe the laws to be and why I believe that the methodology of the model lacks legal standing. I do have other concerns about the proposal and the promotion of it amongst the community of Rotorua. I have issues with the statement of a proposal, the SOP, itself. This includes insufficient consideration of all four options considered earlier by Council, comments by Council officers on the merits of each of the four options in the SOP, which is not provided for in the Act, comment by Council on the need to provide opportunities for Māori to contribute to Council decision-making, when, as mentioned earlier, the law refers to decision-making processes. However true it is, there is no place in the LGA for recognition of the significance of Te Ara as tangata whenua. Neither the LGA nor the RMA make provision for partnership with anyone, let alone Te Ara. The misleading comments about the extent of Council's legal and statutory obligations. The submission form itself concerned me. The first question did not seek support or otherwise of Council's preferred option two, but simply asked of the submitter, do you support in principle the intention to effectively partner with Te Ara? Just because a submitter might answer yes to this leading and misleading question does not mean that they support option two or any of the other options briefly referred to in the proposal. The more appropriate question would have been, with reference to option two alone, do you support nominees of Te Ara being appointed but not elected to certain council committees with voting rights, thereby creating an effective partnership with Te Ara? My concerns about the SOP relate to the principles of administrative law, including, amongst other things, the need to act fairly and reasonably. On page 3 of the SOP, comment is made that the SOP has been prepared with guidance from the Office of the Auditor General, OAG. I do not know what guidance Council is referring to, given that an OAG document that I have read on the subject of Council communications with the public states that authorities must act in accordance with the law, must act reasonably and fairly, must make decisions that are free from bias and predetermination, and need to maintain public confidence in the decision-making processes. The SOP fails on all accounts and is a consequence little more than a potpourri of political obfuscation. The Rotorua Pro-Democracy Society engaged the law firm of Russell McVeigh to provide an independent legal opinion on the standing of the SOP and the model. This opinion generally supports the position set out in my detailed submission and confirms my belief and that of the Society that aspects of the model are contrary to the laws of our land. Council has subsequently obtained its own legal opinion from its lawyers, who, perhaps not unexpectedly, have a different view of the law. I note that among the submissions are some from lawyers in Rotorua who, when commenting on the law, come to a conclusion that is similar to my own. Council's blind acceptance of its commissioned advice and ignoring the other opinions of other lawyers, including in submissions, would be suggestive of a degree of arrogance of the like that created issues for Council in the Environment Court back in 2013. Failure to correctly apply the law could see the consequential implementation of the model being subject to judicial review. There could also be a political consequence at the next triennial election in October 2016 when the people of Rotorua have their ultimate say. In my view, Council's earlier stated preference for option two is little more than the fulfilment of political ideology. The proposal, if implemented, is unlikely to be enduring, given that a future Council could change it. This is hardly a position that Council should be seeking to be in if it truly intends to fulfil its legal obligations to consult with Māori. Council should therefore be focusing on creating an enduring arrangement that will be acceptable to the community at large and which will have a life well into the future.
Your time is up. Do you want to wrap it up quickly?
It's only just some personal reflection at the end. Perhaps finally, just a little paragraph. I note that these proceedings happen to be called hearings, but I believe that it would have been more appropriate to call them listenings. Regardless of what side of the argument each of you, Councillor and Mayor, might be coming from, I trust that there is a lot of listening and understanding going on, and that you can gauge the real concerns or otherwise that the public of Rotorua has about the proposals before you and appreciate the reality of the law, and from that, make your decision in the best interest of your constituents, the people of Rotorua.
Thank you, Mr. Watson, and there's no time for questions.
Thank you.
So it truly was a hearing. Now we move to Anthony Bruyere, submitter 1791. Thank you, Anthony. For us, it's page 233. Good morning.
Hello. Look, I'm not much of public speaker, and I haven't even written any notes. I see that this whole problem is actually a fundamental issue, mainly that a political system, which this council is, and also that the pro-democracy society is also pushing a political system. I see that no political system can actually deliver a democracy. Never has done and never will do. A political system creates division within the community just by the very nature of how the system works. Democracy actually creates continuity within the community, and they're both actually systems that actually are founded on opposing principles. In a political system, it is sort of like vote for me, you know, like I'm your man sort of thing, and don't vote for that one. So you actually create a division even within families, within whānau, and even the broader community. The political system that the council is proposing to implement, the Te Rawa Partnership, I see will create further division within Te Rawa itself. It will not help the Te Rawa people because it is actually the Te Rawa Standing Board in itself is actually a political system within Te Rawa. And it creates division. If the Te Rawa people themselves formed a democracy, even in their own people, there would be unity with the people. This proposal will make that division within their people, and then because the Te Arawa people are still interacting in the community in like at large, the community itself will see the division between Te Arawa and the rest of the community, and that's creating further division. So the community, and that will reflect back in Te Arawa people themselves, and there will be more division actually in the Te Arawa people. If we formed a democracy, a democracy is not a political system. A political system cannot deliver a democracy. A democracy, in my view, is a pyramid-shaped structure, a lot like a dictatorship, except the power flows the other way. In a democracy, small groups are formed in the base. They elect a person to represent them, and that moves up into the next tier. In my view, the person that's elected to go forth is not the person that says, I will, we must. That person is only one voice in the group. They elect the person that is the most neutral in their viewpoint and will take the group's view forward, not their own view. In a political system, the politician is the person that stands up and says, I have this idea, I believe in this, or whatever, and look for support. It is based on conditional giving, and which is corruption itself. In a democracy, transparency is actually a cornerstone of it. There can be no closed door meetings, like in the upper levels, and there can be no campaigning, because otherwise you are taking power away from the people in the base. In a democracy, in like a political system, ideas are sold to the people, and they look for support. In a democracy, the ideas come from the base. The people themselves, individual thought and individual ideas are supported and also encouraged, and the ideas move up through the system. The system needs to be totally transparent for that everyone on the base needs to be able to see where their ideas get kicked out. With the system, you will find the representatives will be true representatives because the idea is flowing up through the system. Whereas in a political system, the politicians are basically standing on their own, and they say they are representatives, but they are not. For them to be representatives of the people, they would have to be in contact with every person that they say that they represent. This is pretty well physically impossible. Whereas in a democracy, through the pyramid structure, the people further up the pyramid are are representatives. There's no power in the top part of the structure like there is in a political system. The person right at the top is merely a person making decisions on on what's coming up through the system, and the decisions have been from the base. With this system, the because the ideas are coming from the base, it is not, the people are not being told what to do or how to act. The people, it is the people's decisions themselves. And through having, making those decisions and seeing that their decisions are being acknowledged, you still have freedom, because it is your own decisions and it is the collective decision making process. A political system cannot deliver that. A political system is based in control, and the need to control. It is not through the through freedom and free choice.
Your time is nearly up. You just might want to wrap it up.
Yeah, okay. For the Te Rawa people, I see that if they moved back to 100% signatory of their trusts, then they would be protected. Then they would hold their land rather than have it ripped off them through the 60%, which is basically a political system.
That's a different view again on your...
This is the thing. Yeah. Politics separate things. Democracy doesn't separate things.
Time for questioning. You took the full 10 minutes. Thank you for coming today and giving your view. Hans Makari, for councillors. This is submission 310, page 57.
Tēnā tātou te whare. Kia koutou ngā councillors, just so that you understand, this is a poem, so I'd appreciate you letting me do my thing. Thank you. Kia koutou ngā councillors, I get your position, I really can. You've inherited a legacy of not giving a damn. From the LGA to the RMA, way back to the treaty, we're in it together, darlings, it's time to get meaty. The entitlement and arrogance of the pro-Dems option 5 had me laughing so hard I thought, is this Saturday Night Live? I understand your position, but I have no pity. Ngāti Whakaue built this city. The thing about some notions of democracy, they honour the horny, not indigeneity. It annihilates us with numbers and all that sex. And on the Te Arawa partnership, I hedge my bets. Because it ain't perfect, not by far. It's a start in repairing the rifts and the scars. Rather than have rednecks openly refute, come aboard the waka. Be resolute. Commit to the future, a vision shared, not shaking your boots full of fear. Democracy is won between the sheets. It relies on ignorance to deliver defeats. We will not go gently into the night, but rage and rage against the pro-privilege right. You come, you hui, you say you consult. When kaka goes down, it's the hapu's fault. By your imposed consent, our resources are milked with an overwhelming dose of reversed cultural guilt. We're still here, you fellas, and this is the solution. The partnership, a start in the just revolution. The Fenton Agreement is the example of our generous spirit, visionary then as a semi-respectful conduit. Not surprisingly, our generosity has been systematically abused. Good faith has resulted in our mana abused. You've taken what you want and pretty much cruised, but we're the battered wife. We're bruised. Democracy is a religion that has failed the poor. But that's not your concern, is it? Because you still want more. Homogenise my whakapapa for crown natural groupings. Scraping the barrel, whānau, how low are you stooping? You see, not all Māoris are the same. Some of us have your number, and we know your game. And there are those of us from this actual land. Your pro-democracy, I backhand. We're only here because you made a mistake. The Environment Court slapped you in the face. You felt that in your pockets, an expensive, silly stunt. What I want to say rhymes with Councillor Hunt. Your cultural audit was incomplete, fearing your power was becoming obsolete. These hearings, this is where it all comes to light, and we still rage and rage against the pro-privilege right. You see, I've unloaded my bullets as a sign of good faith, though every instinct tells me to keep one tucked away. This bridge of our backs is not for your whipping, your pollution, feigned ignorance, or total stripping of our rights to protect our ancestral lands from your five-finger discount-grabbing hands. I can't even take my girl to her own lake to swim. It's stagnant and paru, thanks to you crims. Your bores drained our lifeblood, our baths too. Too busy taking, whakarewarewa now screwed. The same went for when we lived in Ohinemutu. You sucked our ngāwha blood, you pūtea hungry kutu. The relationship as it stands is problematic. You still want more stuff. It's white noise and static. For some of you, I have no sympathy at all. That's right. I mean you, the Koretake Four. Shallow, thin-lipped greetings from you, if any. The impact of your racism, now heard by many. You sit there, scared that this taniwha will bite. Push my people far enough, we just might. Wet my tongue with a taste distinctly stale, as Fire Merepeka said it, male and pale. You're surprisingly lucky we're being so nice. You can still be eaten with horopito spice. Boiled in pare kō huru huru, a hākari, a treat, a classic case of utu. You call it a threat, I term it cuisine. Still a possibility, but I'm not that keen. Some flavours can't be rinsed from my waha. I'd save my hunger for an adversary with more kaha. I hope you were actually fair when choosing a counting system and don't pick the cheapest to simply miss them. That if our formats don't match yours, you might count a no, but I'd check every single submission before you crow. Don't be lazy, slack, or typically cheap. Stuff this up and you'll deserve what you reap. Give us accurate results on a final decision, or I'll be back on a personal mission. Bullets loaded, I'm already sussed, but what have your actions shown me that I can trust? Ka aroha to you, there'll be no melodic hymns, just a truckload of resistance to colonising whims. We get tokenism, petulance and constant abuse. Stand up for our whakapapa and get labelled obtuse. Your ungrateful moaning and ignorance are gross, because it's niggling at you what you fear most. You're terrified, we natives might just wake up. Uprise, take back our swag and say, chur, the ups. Even now, with much trepidation, my skin crawls at the thought of participation. I look around this room and think, do you deserve to have these taonga? What cries have they heard? These token tukutuku on these walls. What have they heard? How many calls from my people for justice, for equal stakes, met by deaf ears and sentiments fake? A child of Te Arawa with many hapu affiliations, I'll not be another victim of assimilation. My whakapapa, my birthright, it's what I breathe. It's why I stand here in good stead. Some say buy you out, others say breed. Me, I'd evict you for intergenerational greed. I pray this not be another crappy joke, because we've had enough of being your native poke. Manaakitanga, said Maggie, and said Guide Rangi, not the prostitution of our cultural honey. Dial a karakia, dial a pōhiri, the token gestions are over, kōkiri. I'll not hold hands and sing whakaria mai while you stick your ude in my hangi pie. Over Māori redress you kehau's cry, but this arawa asks, hea hai. You pay less in fines and less in rates, penalise mana whenua to maintain your estates. If the Te Arawa partnership was already in place, my work would have been accepted in this place. Too controversial because I don't bluff. I paint flaccid ude, kupu snipe and weave muff. Not a single arts officer has been from here, and considering the stakes, that's hardly fair. It's why there are cock-ups with vapid exhibitions. You've seen my style of protest and media crucifixions. You called the show whakapapa, so what's that in a name? Your colonised fear of genitalia exposed your shame. A complete lack of understanding of our people and the struggle. Your process lacked magic, disconnected muggles. I'm part of the steering committee for the Rotorua Arts to make sure you know your place and do not impart a model upon my people's creative legacy. Te Arawa will determine our own artistic destiny. I embrace that some people see my work as crude, but it's you that's been consciously rude. You've forgotten to thank your gracious hosts, for we've given you everything. Well, almost. Don't like it? Bay, take your crap and leave. For generations, we've had to concede. The mana motu hake of hapu will reign, despite your pro-democracy claims. In Ngongotaha's shadow, my people wait, watching the pro-Dems who will meet their fate. Papatūānuku and Hinenui will accept you too, when your thin lips are a cold and pallid blue. No more private decisions, no more agendas hidden, no more poisoning of my lakes or blankets flea-ridden. The Te Arawa partnership will take us far. Didn't you know? Some of my best friends are Pākehā. This process will humble you and empower us. It's why I've bothered to even make a fuss. The coloniser is fallible after all. From great heights come massive falls. If we were playing Game of Thrones, I'd bend you over and you'd be owned. The state of the Puaringa, where I once would penny dive, has poisoned my whānau. We've lost to cancer many lives. Then there's the good old eastern arterial route. You'll destroy our urupā for an early commute. Ironically, your dead rest with ours on our hill. And my people's chance for justice, you still try to kill. Katniss has her arrow and all the Hollywood hype. Me, my eyes are locked on you, set in my sniper sights. I'll be deep into this kaupapa and support the partnership, keeping an eye on the players and the stirrers of... For now, I will pocket my pen and quench my voice. Kia ora, Stevie. Koutou needs some more rubbish bags. Can you suss it out? Choice. Kia ora tātou.
We did say no noise from the gallery, and every submission can be presented quite creatively.
Kia ora.
There are time for questions.
There is time, okay.
There appear to be none.
Kia ora.
Chance, could I just ask you, one of the issues that's come out through this process is one of fear and anxiety.
Yes.
Do you think with this proposed model we'll overcome that concern of legitimate residents in our district that are concerned that we're ceding this model, cedes power?
I actually do believe that, and I'm very hopeful, despite my cynicism in the poem, I'm actually very hopeful about the partnership being meaningful and that we can actually understand each other's history. But I do think that there are members of our community that need a history lesson for that to happen.
Thank you. Can't
be fair to say thank you, Chance, for your submission.
Kia ora.
Would it be fair to say, though, there are people in our community who don't want to know about the history and just have a tunnel vision of where they believe Rotorua should head?
I imagine that's where much of the dissent is coming from, is actually a lack of understanding of our history. And sadly, when revolutions happen, sometimes people are left behind.
Councillor Rau Kawate.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Chancy, for your prose this morning.
Kia ora.
I enjoyed it. Partnerships are actually based on trust.
Mm.
And what we've heard coming through from so many of the submissions are actually people feel there's a lack of trust, and we're going to have to do something about that. So the partnership proposal, as it now stands, do you believe that could go a long way into encouraging an atmosphere and an environment of trust with council?
I do believe it can. I actually, of course, Kingi, Arapeta, Kala Ma, all my kazis. And I have faith in the fact that they have really moulded something that is workable for now. So I'll leave it at that at this stage.
Thank you, and thank you for your submission and coming back in here. And I hope you enjoyed the galleria as you walked through.
I did. Kia ora.
We ask Hemi Bennett, submission number 322, for councillors, page 58. Hemi.
It just logged off as I was about to come up here. Right, I've just brought Tēnā tātou, kia ora, koutou katoa. I've just brought James in here, he's my support person. He's also my campaign manager when I ran for council, so thanks, James. Right, Your Excellency the Mayor and councillors, thank you for this time. I'm happy to be here today and what will hopefully go down in history is the day New Zealand punched above our weight to knock out racism and to improve race relations in our beautiful country. Today is the day where history changes. It is a day of reckoning for Māori historically. It is a day you as councillors and people of New Zealand will grow up and make this country a free and equal opportunity for all ethnic cultures, including the Māori culture. We watch other ethnic cultures succeed in our country. It is time we